Turns with me to Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. We're going to read from verse number 1 to 12. It reads, "So Jacob went on his way. The angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, 'Speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there up until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. I have sent them to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight.' Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men with him.' So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. He said, if Jacob comes to that one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. Then Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown me. Show me your servant, for I crossed this Jordan with my staff in my hand, and I've become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Here ends the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God. Well, the topic that we are treating is called katalage, which means reconciliation. Somebody say reconciliation. Now, I'm sure you all know the story. When Isaac was old and about to go and be with the Lord, as custom demanded, he called his eldest son and told his eldest son, "Go and prepare venison for me, such as I love, and that I may eat and bless you." But just as he was going to hunt for the venison, his mother, Rebecca, passed the info to Jacob, saying that your father has called Esau to go and prepare venison. Let me show you the plot of what we are going to do. We are going to find a way where I'm going to make the venison, and you're going to usurp your brother and pretend to be your brother so that your father can give the firstborn's blessing to you. Now, we all know that the firstborn's blessing was always the lion's share. Whatever was left was given to the rest. In this case, there were only two children, so obviously, he's going to take about 70 or 80%, and the 20% that is left will be given to Jacob. So the mother, who knew at the beginning that there was a switch, God had done a switch, it knew that the father was going by culture instead of by revelation. So the mother decided to correct the wrong of the father in their own way. And they did the switch, or they did the treason. I call it treason. They usurped the brother, went to prepare the venison, put camel's hair or goat's hair on the brother, pretended to be Esau, and went. Isaac was, I, I,
I hear the voice of Isaac, but you smell of Jacob, but you smell like Esau. And blessed, the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau was stolen by Jacob. And as soon as Esau returned with the venison, he was told that your brother has come earlier and has stolen your... I know you all know that story. So the brother, in his anger, decided to chase after Jacob to kill him. And Jacob escaped and went to live with the uncle Laban. Now, many years have gone. Many years have passed. And the Lord said to Jacob, it is time to return back home. And in going home, he said to himself that if I'm going home, I will have to reconcile with my brother. Because without reconciliation, true prosperity will not take place. Are you with me? God had promised Jacob that I will make your descendant as the star, as the sun on the seashore. If they can be counted, then you, so would your descendants be able to be counted. And for that to happen, you need reconciliation with your brother. You know, for most of us as Christians, we take reconciliation lightly. We think that it's okay to love God. It's okay to have a relationship with God and not worry about anybody else. Nobody else matters. If I'm at loggerheads with my brother or my sister, it doesn't matter. So long as I have connection with my God, I am okay. But you see, true reconciliation, I'm starting from, you would have thought that I would go to start reconciliation with God, isn't it? But true reconciliation doesn't start with God. It starts with man. Because if you cannot be at peace with your fellow man that you see, how can you say you love God that you haven't seen? I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, we behave hypocritically. Love God so much, but you live cantankerously with everybody else. You've quarreled with every flatmate you have lived with. You only have to be in a friendship for 3-4 months and then you don't talk anymore. All your relatives, you have problems with them. Now, I came to tell you that true blessing does not start until you have reconciled with everybody. God had blessed Jacob in Laban's house. He said, I crossed this Jordan with a staff in my hand, and now I have come back in two companies. So you'd have said that if God wanted to really keep blessing this guy, then he would have kept him in Laban's house, because after all, he was prosperous. But God said, no, you have to come back. And his coming back home to Seir was not because he didn't have anywhere else to live, but he needed to come for an appointment. The appointment was to reconcile with his brother. Am I making sense? You know, for somebody in this room listening to me, your blessing is hidden in the reconciliation with somebody. Because God cannot trust you until he knows that your heart is clean and pure. Hello? I'm trying to introduce the topic. Most of us, we keep too many people in our hearts. Too many people. Everybody who has offended you. Your dad that offended you. Didn't pay your school fees. Your first boyfriend that jilted you. You know, your neighbor that stole your bike when you were 5 years old. And how many know what I'm talking about? And you have kept all these people in your heart. You know, as human beings, we have compartments that we put things that we don't like in. We put them in there and say, as for me, my heart is okay. And my heart is pure. I'm just serving my God. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. No. God said, no. Don't lift your voice. Do not lift your voice. You need katalage. I say you need katalage. You need reconciliation. Hallelujah. You need reconciliation before you even lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Because without us having a pure heart, God cannot hear us. Hello? I mean, this is basic Christianity. Live peaceably with all men as much as lies with you. To live peaceably with all men means that make sure that you are on good terms with everybody. Hallelujah. Make sure that everybody is on good terms with you. Now, Jacob has stolen from Esau. But Jacob was the one that God had a covenant with. Jacob was the one that God had anointed. Jacob was the one that God was going to send his blessing through. But he says that I cannot send my blessing through to you if you have an issue with your brother that is unresolved. So go back. Go back to your father's house. So the first thing, before we reconcile with God, we need to reconcile with men. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 John, Peter, 3, verse 7 and 8, that husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and be courteous. Hallelujah. Love as what? Brothers. Be tender-hearted and be courteous. Because you risk your prayers being hindered when you are at loggerheads. Even with your wife. He never said that when your wife is at fault, then your prayer can go straight. He never said that if the fault is not yours, it comes from somebody else, but your wife is angry and your wife is the cantankerous one. He doesn't see there's no ifs and buts. He says, dwell peaceably with all men. Dwell peaceably with understanding. Knowing that the tendency of your wife being cantankerous is high. Because they are the weaker vessels, isn't it? Don't look at me that way. Go back to 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with what? Understanding. Because the way they are so complex. They are so complex that sometimes things that you think must not provoke anger will provoke anger. They are very, very complicated creatures. You see, we were formed. They were made. There's a difference. Man was just put together. Stand, go. Plain, simple. No delicacy, no, you know, intricacies. It's just plain trousers and shirt. Go. But they were crafted. Are you with me? So they had
a lot of computer wires, a lot of emotional wires, a lot of spiritual wires, a lot of, you know, sometimes they wake up in the morning and they are away. They are upset. What's wrong with you? They don't even know why they're upset.
But they're upset.
Not you, but you know somebody who's like that. Give me a shout. Sometimes they can see somebody, they've never spoken to the person before. They say, I don't like the person. Why don't you like the person? I don't know, but I don't like the person. How? For a man, the person must have done something. And then he's like, oh, this is what he did that I don't like. Very, very logical. But the woman, I don't like. And you go 20 years and then find out, it's true. That person is not a likable person. But they, from the get-go, I don't like this person. But he said, my spirit does not agree. But he says, likewise, husbands, dwell with them with what? Understanding. Giving that room that they are complex human beings. So that there is no friction. There's no misunderstanding. Because the misunderstanding, the closest person with you, the misunderstanding hinders your prayer. Could it be that our prayers are being hindered? In Psalm 133, the Bible says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil that is poured on the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edges of the garment. It is like the dew of Hermon cascading down the mountainside, descending. For there the Lord commands what? His blessing. The blessing of the Lord is commanded in a place of unity, the place of love, the place of harmony, the place where people are happy together, the place where the people are not holding contention, they are not holding issues. That is the place of God's blessing. The place of God's anointing is a place of peace. The place where people are living together. Does that mean that we will never offend each other? No, we will offend each other all day long. But the spirit of reconciliation, the spirit of katalage, is that as soon as the offense happens, you correct it. He said, if you are coming to the altar, and you remember that you had an issue with your brother. Now, go to that scripture. He says that when somebody has offended you, not you have offended. 23, 24. He says that, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you. Some verses say you have something against your brother. Leave the gift there before the altar. Go your way and first be katalageed to your brother. Then come and offer the gift. So you see, your reconciliation with your brother comes before your worship. Our Christianese, our worship comes first. Everything else can wait. I say, this one I can't forgive. No. Whether I have something against you or you have something against me, it does not matter. We need to leave our gifts here and go and make peace. Look at your neighbor and tell them, make peace. Oh, tell somebody, make peace. Tell them like you mean it. It's time for us to make peace. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need to make peace with our brothers and sisters. Now, in the story we read, go back to the story. In the story we read, now, the process of peace is what we read. So we're going to go back to it. The first step towards making peace is God. So Jacob went his way and the angels of God met him. The reason why sometimes our peacemaking effort backfires is that we go with self and not with God. I don't know. I've come. You know that issue, and then the issue, you go and exasperate the issue. You are going to reconcile, but you go and cause more trouble. You bring more quarrel because you went in the flesh. Ouch. Are you with me? Jacob could have gone because God gave instruction in when he was at Laban's house that go to your brother and make peace. So he could have just gone and made peace. But on his way, the first thing he met was the camp of angels. Hallelujah. Which means that he went through God. Pray about it before you go. Don't just go that I'm going to make peace. Let God give you the wisdom, the word of wisdom to use. Don't go with your own mind and go and even cause more trouble. Remember, the reconciliation is to your advantage. Am I making sense? Reconciling is to your advantage, and so you cannot afford to blow it. See, if they are not in Christ, they can afford to be at loggerheads to the day they die. But for you, you cannot afford. Recently, I went to somebody to go and make peace with a person. Not that I had offended. As far as I'm concerned, I was not the one who offended. They were the ones that, as far as I was concerned, was more offensive and was offending. Offensive and offending.
Present continuous.
And when I went, the person was trying to even make me understand. Listen, this thing is good you have come. This is what, and the person started and going on and on and on. I was like, because it was an instruction that God gave me. And God told me exactly what to say. So I went and I said exactly what God told me to say. And see, when the person, okay, I've heard. I said, do you forgive me? I've heard. I've let it go, but as I won't do this. I said, it's fine. The rest is up to you, whatever you do or not do. But at least I need you to forgive me. So long as you've forgiven me, it's okay. Am I making sense? Because, you see, without katalage, the blessings of God on your life will be halved, will be sabotaged. Because, see, Satan is a legalist. Satan is very legalistic. And so, the Bible says, let us give him no place. God cannot pour his blessing amongst a certain group of people in a certain way where there is disunity. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says that I plead with you by the mercies of the living God that you guys come together, that you all dwell in what? In unity. That you all speak the same language and have the same mind. No division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. And in the same judgment. Why? Because he wants to pour his blessing. He wants to pour his grace. He wants to pour his anointing. But he needs unity before the anointing can be poured. Hallelujah. If there's anything you and I must fight for, is to fight for unity. I say if there's anything you and I must fight for, is to fight for reconciliation everywhere. Make sure that there is nobody that you are angry with or they are angry with you. There are some places and some people, they will never forgive or they will never let the matter go, but at least make the effort. Hallelujah. So the Bible says the first thing he did was what? He went to God. He went to the camp. Amen. Verse 2. Go to verse 2. When Jacob saw, he said, this is the God's camp. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Hallelujah. And you see, we are not privy to the conversation that Jacob had with the angel. But we know that they must have had a conversation. And based on that conversation, Jacob took the step to go to the brother. So you see, nobody may be privy to the information or the wisdom God is going to give you. But pray to God first. Pray to God before you go confront or go going to the person to discuss that issue, to make peace, make katalage. You must ask for God's mind. Hallelujah. So he spoke to the angel and then he went to number three. Are you awake now? So number one is what? Go through God. Number two is make sure you reconcile with man before God. Your reconciliation is with man first. In 1 John 4, 20, 21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love who? Must love who? Are you awake? Let's read it together. Verse 21, ready, go. And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Hallelujah. Number three, reconciliation must be intentional. You have to strategize the reconciliation. Some of us, we just accidentally, we have issue, okay, let's solve it. No. Be very intentional with it. Look at verse 3. He sends his servant with camels, donkeys. Jacob sent his messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them to say, speak thus to my Lord. Now look at how he's calling his brother. My Lord. Remember, he stole from him. He said, when you go, I'm rehearsing it now. I am telling that he, my brother, I am richer than him. Remember, I stole his blessing. I have more than him, but I'm calling him my Lord. So make sure that respect goes through in your message. So speak thus to my Lord. That's your servant Jacob. Says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. He's calling himself servant. And he's calling his brother Lord. After all these years, he's richer. He's more blessed. He has more than his brother. But he's calling him my Lord. You see, humility always breaks resistance. Humility always breaks the hardened heart. Some of us, the reason why our reconciliatory attempts doesn't work is because we don't go with humility. We go in pride. It doesn't matter how blessed you are. It doesn't matter what God has done for you or God has done with you. When you go for reconciliation, always take the servant's garment and give the Lord's garment to the person that you need. In this case, genuinely, Jacob was at fault. Sometimes you will not be at fault, but it doesn't matter. You need to come down from your high horse That is not a place to settle scores. And listen, you remember the issue. You were the one at fault. No, 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 no. You start. No, it doesn't matter who starts. It doesn't matter who is at fault. You need the reconciliation. You see, reconciliation is like going to the hospital with like a broken hand. If your arm is broken, you don't tell the doctor to come to you. You have to hold your hand and take it to the hospital and tell the hospital that, please, I have this problem. Help me to sew it back. After all, if they don't sew it, whose hand is falling off? It's yours. Whose blessing is being stolen? It's your blessing, not theirs. They don't even know that they have a blessing to be stolen anyway. Are you with me? You see, all this while, Jacob was okay. Jacob, you see, Esau was not as poor as we thought. Because Esau, remember the father said that the scrap of the blessing I give to you. And that scrap of blessing was also a very powerful blessing. So Esau was okay. But Jacob said, your servant, I have come. God has blessed me. But it's not the blessing. I want, us to live in peace. I want us to reconcile. I want us to have reconciliation. See, Jacob was very intentional, Jacob was a very calculating, cunning person. From the day he was born, he was a very cunning person. And he said that, I need to be intentional about this reconciliatory attempt. All of us must be like Jacob. When we go for that reconciliation, learn to take the seventh step. Learn to, humble yourself. Learn to be intentional about your purpose of being there. Don't be triggered by any insults. I came to apologize, and now look at the way you are talking to me. Then you've gone to spoil the issue. How many know what I'm talking about? How many need to do this? I believe all of us here, there's one or two people that have offended us, or we have offended that we need to reconcile. Am I the only one here? Give me a wave so that I know you are here. Some of us, it's our parents. We still have this nice father daughter platonic relationship, but you and I know that the relationship is not the way it ought to be, because there's a certain something that you are holding inside of your heart. You have put it in a compartment of forgetfulness, so you don't. It's like, I said earlier on that the body has a way of shutting down. When you come to an accident or come to a shock, the body shocks itself to make itself oblivious of the pain. So sometimes an incident that you don't want to remember, the body has a place that it puts it so that you don't remember. Today, I want you to go to that place and bring it out and solve it. Clean that room out. Take that everything there, clean it out so that your blessing will be complete. Hallelujah. So number four. Reconciliation must be bathed in prayer. Verse 9. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and my father Isaac, the Lord who has said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of all the truth which you have shown to your servant. For I crossed this Jordan with the staff. He made a prayer. So reconciliation must be backed by prayer. Before you go, before you reconcile, before you make that phone call, pray about it. Oh, I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Is this a practical sermon? See, for us Christians, we like abstract sermons. Things that God will bless us, God will give us something. But when it comes to you doing something practically, we find it difficult. But our true blessing is nicked to these type of things.
Hallelujah. Because when you don't obey the principle, it's difficult for the blessings of the Lord to come to you. Hallelujah. So we must learn how to pray about this issue. Commit the issue to God. Tell God, Lord, this is the issue. I need my brother to forgive me. I need my sister to forgive me. I need this thing to happen. And make that reconciliation. Amen. Sometimes, people, especially the people that we have to deal with, sometimes they are very, very messy. And they like to cause more problems. How many have people like that? In your attempt to, they will even want to ginger it and cause more. So pray that God will touch their hearts even before you go. The God that can bring mountains low and bring valleys up and make a way in the desert where there was no way, that God should go before you, and that God must speak for you. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Because you don't want to exasperate the wound. Are you with me? You want the wound healed, not it bruised. So you need God to go ahead to touch the heart of the person. Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wants to turn it. So ask that. Some of you need to go to your ex and say, forgive me. Let me try this side. Let me try this side. I said, some of you, you need to go to your ex and tell your ex, forgive me. Not forgive me to come back. No, 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 no. Forgive me of what I did. Some brother needs to go to a guy and say, sister, forgive me. I broke your heart. I deleted and blocked you for no reason. Please forgive me. And then when you finish, block it again. What number are we on? Number 5. Reconciliation demands humility. I think we've talked about that. Number 6. Reconciliation requires vulnerability. You need to show yourself vulnerable. You know, Jacob divided his blessing into two. As he was going to his brother, he didn't want the brother to see the extent of his blessing and his wealth. He divided so that the brother will not be jealous, or he will not become, you know. Remember the things he has stolen from. Because when he sees that he has become a multi-millionaire now, he said, you have stolen, how should I have been like that? No, no, no. He split his, and he made himself vulnerable. He went, you know, the Bible says that he was coming with 400. Esau was coming with 400 people. He divided in his group into two, 200. When 400 people are coming to meet 200 people, who feels more powerful? Who feels more vulnerable? The 200. Because he was coming from a journey and he had 400. You have been in the land and you all have 400. So he was more powerful. Yeah, but he came in a very vulnerable state. You know when somebody is, you are angry with somebody and the person comes in a very sad, vulnerable state to come and say, I'm sorry. I don't care how. You know the prodigal son, that's another story of reconciliation. He said that I'll go to my father and say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Make me as one of your servants. He came as a vulnerable person.
He did not come as a proud. The proud son that left the house came as a vulnerable servant back to the father's house for reconciliation. He didn't come as a proud servant. No. He came as a servant. And when he came as a servant, the father said, no, you cannot be a servant. You are still my son. Come and be the son. Hallelujah. Oh, I think you missed a good place to put your hands together. You are still my son. Hallelujah. Number 7. Reconciliation nears completion in forgiveness. Reconciliation must always end in forgiveness. The Bible says in verse 4 that when he sent his servant, Esau said to the servant, I am coming to meet my brother. I have forgiven him. I am coming to meet him. I have forgiven him, so I'm coming like a brother. Let's look at it, verse 4. Genesis 33, Genesis 33, verse 4. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Have you seen how the godly type of katalage ends up? Where have we seen this running, falling on the neck and kissing and weeping? We saw it in the prodigal son. Yeah. Because that is the aim of reconciliation. When you come to a place of reconciliation, there must be that forgiveness, that love, that reuniting together, that peace being made. Was Esau going to give Jacob anything? No. On the contrary, Jacob was the one that brought a lot of blessing to Esau. Were they going to live? Was Jacob going to live in Esau's land? No. But God says that before I can finish the blessing, you must have this peace made. And when the peace was made, he left and went to live wherever he went to live. And Esau remained in Seir, and they had peace. Brothers had peace again. And Jacob went and prospered. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? All of us, what is hindering our prayer? What is hindering our breakthrough? What is hindering our blessing is that person that you haven't sorted your issue with. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Gloria told me that I need to call this lady and make peace with her. And I said, it's a good idea. Call her. He said, I'm not sure whether I have the number. You know how the normal things. Eventually, she called her. And you know, when your heart is right to make peace, even before you say anything, the person already comes to say, I want to make peace too. Let us forget about the past. Let us live as sisters one more time. Let us live as brothers one more time. You know, and the benefit of that thing is that now your prayers go straight to God. Now there's no hindrance. Now your blessing comes straight to you. Now there's no hindrance. I pray for all of us here that we will make peace with our brothers, make peace with our friends, make peace with our fathers and our mothers. Hallelujah. Yes, God will make peace with us. God will give us that peace. But we need to make sure that we have reconciled with everyone that has offended us. The last one, reconciliation finishes in restitution. Reconciliation finishes in restitution. In verse 8, Genesis 33, verse 8, the Bible says,
And Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "These are to find favor in your sight, my Lord." Verse 9. But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." You know, apology must not just be mere, "Oh, I'm sorry." Esau was robbed. Jacob stole a blessing from Esau. Now, Jacob says that, "I've come back. I'm not only coming to make peace, but I'm coming to repay what I stole with interest." Restitution is, I am paying what I stole plus compensating you for everything you lost. So not only am I giving you back what I took from you, I'm giving you that plus what is the current value is today. All the interest you lost, I am repaying. See, some of us, we need to not just go and say, "I'm sorry to your dad," but you need to go all the bad days you have missed, all the gifts you should have sent to your father, your mother that you have never sent. You have to make sure that you take everything and say that I am coming for restitution. Everything that I took from you because of the anger, here it is. I'm giving it back to you. Stand to your feet.